This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, a pretty solid effort for the Buffalo Sabres today against one of the best teams in the NHL. Unfortunately, at this point, moral victories are not going to feel any good for this team. They come away with no points, a regulation loss to the Winnipeg Jets, a 3-1. Final score as we welcome you inside 716 Food and Sport. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Paul William Belt Sabres post-game show. I thought Buffalo played well enough to win the game tonight, or at least played well enough to get points in this game. Nothing to show for it, unfortunately, for the Sabres. The Jets defeating Buffalo. A late goal from Blake Wheeler on a tap-in to put Winnipeg up 2-1, then Scheifele added in the empty netter with 7 seconds left. Gives the visiting Jets a 3-1 victory. And this seven-game all-important homestand for the Sabres now sits at 2-2-1. Two left. The New York team still to come. Sabres will play the Islanders here at KeyBank Center on Tuesday night. And then the New York Rangers also here at KeyBank Center on Friday night. We'll have that game for you. Of course, both those games right here at 7 o'clock. Right here on the Sabres radio network. Coming up here on the post game, we'll be heading to the locker room in just a few moments. Paul Hamilton's on his way to the Sabres locker room. We'll have player reaction to this 3-1 loss to the Jets today. Also, we'll have Phil Housley in his live post game comments when he meets up with Paul and the rest of the media. We'll take you there for that. All the necessary stats and highlights coming your way. If you'd like to join us on the phones, feel free to do so. 803-0550, 803-0550 is the local number. In the Buffalo area, toll-free, no matter where you're listening around the world, it is 1-888-552-550. That's 1-888-552-550. You can send us a text at 550-550. Or if you're on Twitter, hit me up there at Brian WGR. Well, today we sit here and talk about why the Sabres maybe didn't get it done. You might point to the power play. At the end of this game, the Sabres officially go 0-5. Their lone goal came from Eichel right at the end of a power play opportunity. Eichel scoring at 12:01. Little's penalty expired at 11:57. So the players on the ice in the zone was still kind of a 5-on-4 situation, although it's listed as even strength. So maybe if you want to give the power play credit for at least a half check mark, you can in this game. But five chances. Sabres were only penalized once on a night where usually, or in games usually where the referees tend to even things out. The Sabres definitely had the better of go at it in terms of the power play opportunities. I'm not sitting here saying there wasn't missed calls. There always is in games. And there might have been some in the third that you thought should have been called. But in the end, when you sit here, you can't talk about not getting opportunities on the man advantage. The power play has been good as of late. But the Sabres unable to take advantage of that, at least officially tonight, going 0-5. And I thought they handled Winnipeg's skill pretty well. I mean, at the end of the day, a shorthanded breakaway, Andrew Kopp gets one as the puck gets by Jalene. And then the other one, the Sabres are caught up ice, and Wheeler gets a tap-in. All right, let's go to the room for reaction. Here's Kyle Oposo first, live with Paul Hamilton.
The game against, what do you take away from that?
It's a tough one. They made a play when it mattered. That's it. I mean, we thought we outplayed them for a lot of the game. You know, they had their chances, but they made a play when it mattered.
Did you get picked on that play, on that second goal?
Yeah, I still thought, I mean, yeah, I did, but I don't know. I still thought I was there. I gotta find a way to get around that guy.
You were at the end of a shift too. I mean, you were on the far side and couldn't get off, couldn't you?
No, but I knew that I needed to bear down and do whatever it took to get that puck out of the zone, and I still felt fine because I knew that we needed that point and we needed to get that puck out, and so I was fine.
Does that have the feel of a playoff game?
You know, not quite. I mean, it was an intense regular season game, I think. Yeah, that's a good team over there, and I thought we played really well.
In the first period, you really got on them, I thought, caused a lot of turnovers. It seemed like you guys took the play to them. Was it unfortunate you couldn't capitalize on some of those because you were on them?
Yeah, I thought we had a lot of chances tonight, and their goalie played well. And, you know, obviously we had some good looks on the PP. But, yeah, like I said, we played a good hockey game, and just, you know, one mistake late cost us.
Thank you, Kyle. Kyle Oposo on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, Kyle Oposo there with Paul Hamilton. It's the Sabres fall to the Jets by a 3-1 score to go to 2-2-1 on the homestand. Oposo had a really good look, I would say, I don't know, early third there. He's got a good shot, unable to finish. I thought Hellebuyck played really well for Winnipeg. Looked really big out there, too. It seemed as though when the Sabres had opportunities to score, there was openings. He seemed to be able to shut the door. As we go back to the room, here's Sabre goaltender now, Carter Hutton, live.
Carter, very, very close game in there. Both teams had chances. Just boiled down to one play, didn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, it's a good line out there. You know, they finish in the zone, and it's kind of a breakdown, and just ends up in the back of our net.
Did that feel almost like a playoff game, the kind of intensity the team
felt? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that was it's a good hockey game. It's pretty wide open early, and then I thought it kind of settled in a little bit. And yeah, it was just a good hockey game, obviously. Tough to be on the losing end of it, but, yeah, it's frustrating right now.
Still had to feel good to get back in the net and play the way you did, didn't it?
Yeah, it's just frustrating losing, to be honest, you know what I mean? I think at this point, I'm not really too worried about moral victories. I got to try to win games here, and obviously frustrated.
I thought the team came out and took the game to Winnipeg. It was almost a shame that you guys couldn't capitalize on some of those chances because you were causing turnovers and getting opportunities.
Yeah, we had some chances. I thought we were seeing the puck well, and he's a pretty big goalie. You know what I mean? I think you got to get to the net and get rebounds and other chances, and I thought he was really good first shot, and then it was just that secondary stuff he did a good job on, and, you know, a couple timely saves, and, you know, it was just a good hockey game. That's, you know, it's obviously tough to be on the losing end of it.
When games like this come down to one play, one zone time sort of setup, how frustrating, what does it do for you that you have to kind of buckle down and just make sure that you're holding it in?
I don't know. I don't really know how to answer that. Like, it's a lot of things are out of my control, right? I can only control what I can control. So, you know, obviously I just battle and compete to try to stop pucks, and, you know, the guy makes a heck of a play and feeds a guy backdoor. It's one of those ones that, you know, maybe I get a better look and get a push across, but at the end of the day, if he's going to pass a puck around me and tap it in, it's obviously a tough play, but, you know, we there's some breakdowns before that. You know, we got to get the puck out. It's just, you know, it's a good hockey team over there. They know how to win hockey games, and I think they flex their muscles there a little bit in that shift, and, you know, and it ends up in our net, and then from there, they just kind of lock the game down. It's, you know, it's obviously frustrating, but I thought up to that point it was a heck of a hockey game.
Thanks, Carter. Carter Hutton on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, I thought Carter Hutton had a very solid game today as he gets back in the net after Linus Allmark had played a few in a row here. As Hutton faced, well, we'll get more on Hutton in a minute. Back to the room. Here's Jack Eichel now live.
Period when you were right there with.
Yeah, I mean, it was tight checking. Obviously, 1-1 game going to the third. 5 minutes left, it's tied. And, you know, it's just, you know, they get the goal, we don't.
Jack, you guys went after him in the first period. I thought you got on him, caused some turnovers. Is it really some opportunities there where you could have gotten the lead and maybe gotten a couple in the first period?
Yeah, you know, I thought we played well at times. We used our speed. We put in their end. We did some good things, but, you know, it wasn't enough.
You've talked about some games and some shifts even where it's not there. How much did you feel better today than yesterday? It seemed like you were much more engaged in the game.
Yeah, I think felt pretty good today. So, you know, it's obviously it's, you know, however many 55 games into the year. So, you know, I can feel good every night, but I'm just trying to trying to do what I can to help us win. It's wasn't enough tonight, so we don't get any points at home, and it's frustrating.
What did you see on the shift leading the go-ahead goal? You guys just couldn't get a handle on the puck.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we defended well. We kept them to the outside. They were cycling well. Give them credit. You know, they run a little high pick there, and you know, Morrissey kind of gets free, and you know, made a nice play.
Was it encouraging at all, Jack, that you guys responded the way you did after the win last night? I mean, I know you didn't get 2 points, but yeah. This is probably the best you guys have played after a win in a while.
Yeah, I think I've said this a few times before, but, you know, I don't know how many times you can take the moral victory anymore. I mean, we're 55 games in the year. How many times can we say, oh, we played well, but we didn't get any points? So, I mean, other teams are getting points, moving up the standings. We're not. So, the moral victories are a thing of the past at this point. I mean, we don't get any points, and they win the game. So back at it Tuesday night.
And especially since you're not able to string wins together. I mean, that's the real problem.
You're right. I mean, it's one and then one. It's, you know, it's frustrating.
Thanks, everybody. Jack Eichel in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Very much Jack Eichel there. You can sense the frustration from the captain. All those interviews brought to you by Fidelis Care. Quality health coverage. It's our mission. Visit FidelisCare.org. 3-1 Winnipeg. Sabres drop another one on this key homestand. 2-2-1 now. They'll keep it going on Tuesday. Islanders, 7 o'clock. That's our next broadcast. For all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you. If you want to keep listening to the Paul William Belts postgame, go to WGR550.com. For all of you on our flagship here in Buffalo on Sports Radio 550, more Paul William Belts postgame coming up, including Phil Housley's live postgame comments. Winnipeg beating Buffalo 3-1. I'm Brian Colziel. More from 716 right after this. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Chip down the ice, and now here's a break for Winnipeg. Here's Lowry going in on goal. The shot spoiled and foiled and then covered up by Huddleston, and he let it go to Laposo. Can't get it out.
Connor Hellebuck, some really, really nice saves there. Carter Hutton as well. Both goalies standing on their feet throughout. That one right there with Rick Jenneren in the call. Our save of the game brought to you by Geico Local Office West Seneca. Save up to 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free Geico quote from local agent Scott Kaltman. Welcome back here to 716 Food and Sport. I'm Brian Colziel. Sabres lose in regulation. A tough one to swallow. Winnipeg winning 3-1. They had an empty netter late. I thought the Sabres played well enough to get points in this game, if not one of two, but unable to at least get it to overtime. The Sabres unable to only score only one. While we wait for Phil Housley, let's get some highlights in. We will pick it up early second period. Buffalo on the power play, but shorthanded. Puck getting by Dahlin, and in goes Andrew Kopp.
Goes to the boards again, and it's flipped up in the air and comes to center, and here's Winnipeg now with another break going in on goal. Kopp a shot, and he scores! And Winnipeg has scored a shorthanded goal to open the scoring.
Little, 3:01 into period number two. Winnipeg shorthanded, getting the 1-0 lead. Exactly 9 minutes later, Buffalo able to tie things up. Dahlin and Eichel exchanging the puck, and Eichel finishing the deal.
Worked down low into the corner. Buffalo holding it in there, but not getting an opportunity on goal. Winnipeg's back at full strength. There's a quick check. Score! Jack Eichel! He waited till the Winnipeg penalty had just expired. Drilled it home. Buffalo gets on the board and ties it at one.
18th, Dahlin and Skinner the assists. 1-1 is the score. That's where we stood until the late stages of the game. We go to the third, and with under four to go, Winnipeg getting the game winner. Wheeler is 12th of the year.
Buzzing around, Connor drops it off along the boards. Back it comes to the point, held in by Morrissey. Morrissey goes in deep. He feds in front. They score. Wheeler was camped in front of the net to tap it in and put Winnipeg in front.
Wheeler getting the goal at the 16:05 mark. Sabres caught up ice. Eichel couldn't get over in time. Oposo on the ice for a while. Looked like he was picked on the play, too. Morrissey and Scheifele assisting. 2-1 Winnipeg. That's your game winner. The big moment of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And then with 7 seconds left, Winnipeg adding an empty netter. Scheifele with his 28th there. Wheeler and Trouba assisting. 3-1 Jets. That's your final score. All of your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services, around the corner or around the world. Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. All right, so 3-1 Jets victorious. Phil Housley expected to meet with the media here any moment. We'll take you there live as soon as he makes his way to the podium. Let's get you some final stats while we wait for the Sabres head coach. Shots in the third were tied 9-9. Shots end up 36-29 in favor of the Sabres. Power plays, Buffalo 0 of 5. Eichel's goal did come just as it was a power play was expiring, so essentially a power play goal there. They do give one up, though, shorthanded. So special teams edge with the official over 5 score up there and giving up the shorthanded one edge to Winnipeg. Okay, Phil Housley's now meeting with the media. Let's go there live.
Biggest frustration there, you're with an elite team for 50 minutes and just weren't able to squeeze it out in the third period.
You know, it was a real tight game, number one. There wasn't a lot of room. Scoring chances were at a minimum. But I liked the way we came out. We were moving the puck quick. In the first 10 minutes, we were transitioning. We were fast. We started to slow it down a little bit, and we didn't keep that mentality of keep going north. So we got into our zone. There was momentum both ways, same in the second. I thought they had better the majority of the play early, but we didn't break. You know, we fended it off really well, and we came back on our own. We get that goal to tie it up, which was huge, right? You know, after the penalty expired. And third period was just more of the same. Like, I thought we had quality looks. They had quality looks. They're a desperate team as much as we are. But the bottom line is we need to get results. Maybe I would have liked to see them get in overtime. You know, we had an opportunity to get a puck in deep. And then at that point, you know, we had some tired players out there. And I thought they did a terrific job. Could have stayed tighter to our check. Could have got a puck out. We you know, there's key opportunities in that shift. But I think the guys defended well. I think Jack and Oki got ran into each other, which gave, I believe it was Morrissey, a little time. But again, we were closing on. We just had to lock up on the guy.
This one stings a little bit more, just given that you guys haven't won back-to-back games.
Well, it stings because the position where we're in, we need points. And it was tough because, you know, we win a game, and I thought in the past we've you know, our effort or, you know, just the way we were playing wasn't indicative of tonight. We came and we charged. It was a good, solid game by us, but at the end of the day, we need to maybe find a way to get in overtime, you know, score an overtime goal or get in a shootout. That's at that point, we broke there.
Carter, the changing shift there, is that a matter of bad luck, bad execution, just the mix of all of it?
Excuse me?
The go-ahead goal.
Well, it wasn't, you know, there's so many things that lead up to it. You know, we got caught in our zone for quite a bit of time, but I thought our guys really dug deep and defended well. But we had an opportunity in the neutral zone to get a puck deep, and that's what started. We had some tires. We got a couple guys out fresh. And, you know, for the most part, you know, that's hockey. You know, you have to defend at that time in the game. It's getting towards the end of the period, and you know, they were fortunate that our guys ran into each other. That left Morrissey having a little bit of room, but I thought we closed on him. We just got to lock up in front.
Well, in the first period, why were you successful in taking the play to them and causing some turnovers?
It was our transition. We were moving the puck quick and getting it up north, and from that point, we were on the attack. The guys did a really good job of protecting the puck down low. They were cutting back, grinding it out, making them defend. We just didn't get anything off it, but that's sometimes going to happen in a tight game.
I know some guys aren't going to be there every night, and Jack didn't really seem very engaged yesterday, didn't even get a lot of minutes. How much more on a different level was he today overall?
I think the minutes were because of where we were in the game. We weren't chasing anything, and I thought the minutes were really good against Detroit because we knew we had Winnipeg coming in and the situation playing 3-4, 4-6, and I thought he was a force out there when he had the puck. I like when he comes down and starts thinking shot instead of passing it. You know, that he scored at the power play goal, so to speak. Guy just steps out, and he can do more of that. But he's trying to do the right thing.
What did you like about Matt's game, especially considering he hadn't played?
Just steady. He was very steady. His gaps were good. He was good in the defensive zone. He was strong on the puck. I liked the way he was passing the puck on the outlet. You know, he just looked like his normal self out there, just very steady.
A couple shorthanded breakaways. Was there anything to that, or was it just bouncing?
Well, I think we just sort of got out of our structure, you know, whenever there's a breakout and we didn't finish our routes and we try to do too much on our own instead of just working together. And it's unfortunate that puck comes off and Dollar's trying to keep it in, and it takes an unfortunate bounce. But, you know, for the most part, our power play has been very good.
Thanks,
everyone. Thank you.
All right, there is Sabres head coach Phil Housley. His postgame comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 3-1 Winnipeg victorious over Buffalo. The Sabres have the Islanders next here on Tuesday, 7 o'clock puck drop pregame at 6 right here on the Sabres radio network. Let's get you the three stars here before we get to break. All Winnipeg, kind of surprising. I might have voted a couple of Sabres. Kopp has a goal. He's star number 3. Thought he was kind of unnoticeable other than that. Wheeler gets the game winner. Also assists on the empty netter, star number 2. And Connor Hellebuck, I thought, played very well. That's worthy of the number 1 star. Connor Hellebuck tonight is the top star on the high-impact player of the game. It's brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance at KeyBank Center, 17,966. Sabres next playing Tuesday against the Islanders. All right, so a 2-2-1 homestand, probably not good enough. You heard Housley there and the position that they are in the standings. There were some other teams in action. The Bruins played this afternoon. The Hurricanes played this afternoon. We'll let you know how those goes. We'll get an update from Kyle on the scores, update you on the standings, look ahead to the Islanders game. And when we return here on the Paul William Belts postgame, I'm Brian Colzio live at 716. 3-1 Winnipeg is the final. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
To the Buffalo blue line again, but Larson comes over and takes out his man, brought back in now by Yaposo with a shot right on.
Johan Larson, a nice physical play in the first period on Wheeler. It's our Seneca Poker deck of the game, brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. Welcome back here to 716 Food and Sport. I'm Brian Colzio on the Paul William Belts Sabres postgame show. 3-1 Winnipeg victorious. Buffalo going down. And we'll look ahead to the Islander game in a minute. The team Sabres are chasing, Boston in the Atlantic. Carolina, of course, a point ahead of Buffalo. They were in action today. Let's get a check of all the scores. We do that. We go back to our studios one more time around the league. Here's Kyle.
Thank you, Brian. Around the NHL is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. One game went final way earlier this afternoon. The Blues stayed hot, beating the Predators 5-4 in overtime. Vladdy Tarasenko netted the game winner to cap off his fifth career hat trick for St. Louis. Elsewhere around the league, the Islanders held on to beat the Wild 2-1. The Blackhawks laid down the Red Wings 5-2. The Devils, they did the Sabres a favor, beating the Hurricanes in regulation 3-2. But the Bruins came back to beat the Avalanche 2-1, courtesy of Brad Marchand's game-winning overtime goal. In just moments, the Lightning visit the Panthers for a 6 p.m. face-off, and it's the Rangers hosting the Maple Leafs in Madison Square Garden at 7 to round out the schedule on this Sunday. Some league news. There's a coaching departure in Anaheim. Randy Carlyle was relieved of his duties as Ducks head coach. The team is in the midst of a 7-game losing skid and have dropped 19 of their last 21 contests overall. GM Bob Murray will take over as interim coach for the remainder of the season. Local college hoops, Canisius took to the road and downed St. Peter's 64-60, while Niagara was defeated by Iona College 79-76. I'm Kyle Powell for Around the NHL. Brian, back to you.
All right, Kyle, thank you. So we find out there the Bruins, yes, they win again in overtime. So now Boston's past Montreal. So the Atlantic race for second, third, and fourth is going back and forth. Toronto has 71. Boston has 70. Montreal has 69. So that's kind of a fun little race there. I'm still surprised that the Canadiens continue to still play right with these teams. Of course, Tampa in a league of their own, they have 84. But then there's the Sabres with 61. So right now they trail Montreal by 8. Now, in terms of the wild card, it feels, because the Sabres cannot get anything going in terms of a winning streak, like the season is lost. And, of course, it has been a lot of downhill feeling since they were at the top of the league after that 10-game winning streak there at the end of November. I don't at all, or I don't blame anyone for feeling like the season's getting away from this team. I mean, I feel the same thing watching this team. However, if you want to look at it this way, all right, there's 55 games played of 82. There's still some hockey to go here. There's still 27 games. The Sabres are one win away from the playoffs. They're 2 points back of the last wildcard team, which is the Penguins. Even games number of played with Pittsburgh. Now, chasing down Pittsburgh feels like a tougher task because it's Pittsburgh. But you've got Columbus only 2 points better than them. Who knows if Montreal or Boston comes back a little. I still think, again, you know, maybe Montreal is just it is what they're going to be. But still, if you want to take the half is glass full mentality, which I understand is hard to do with this team because they just cannot win two in a row. They still haven't won two in a row since mid-December. We're mid-February almost now. They're still only 2 points back. And they got the good news with Carolina losing. The Devils came into the night with the second lowest points in the East, only behind Ottawa, and the Devils do the Sabres a favor. They beat the Hurricanes, who have been playing very well as of late. Now, of course, Boston wins in overtime. No help there from Colorado. The games tonight, I guess if you have aspirations of chasing down Toronto, you can root for the Rangers. That's an MCSN game tonight, by the way. It's 7 if you're looking for a hockey game to watch tonight. Leafs at MSG. 6 o'clock, Tampa and Florida. Those teams not really in the picture. By the way, just I know this doesn't affect the Sabres, but in the West, keep an eye on Chicago. They've won 7 in a row. We know they were here to start this homestand, beat Buffalo 7-3. Right now, the last wildcard team in the West is Minnesota with 59. Chicago now has 55. They're 4 points back of a playoff spot. They've won 7 in a row. So look out, Blackhawks. Who knows if Kane and Taves could get them in here again. And they've got a ton of games left. Like we said, high 20 games left for everybody on the schedule. But the Sabres play the Islanders next. The Islanders have only had one regulation loss in their last 10 games. They continue to play well. Of course, Robin Leonard, a big piece of that. They are 7-1-2 in their last 10. They've won 3 straight. The Islanders will be in Buffalo, and I'm sure that a lot of storylines will be just how good are they playing. They're doing it without Tavares, of course, goes to Toronto. Robin Leonard, we, of course, know from his time here, has gone on and played very well for the Isles, as they are leading the Metro Division now by 5 over the Washington Capitals and don't show any signs of slowing down. In terms of goals against, they've only given up 133 goals against. That is, right now, number one in the NHL. That is pretty amazing. And Leonard is a big piece of that. So we know what happened with the off-the-ice stuff with Leonard, and you got to at least feel good for him for that. Be kind of fun if he's in net on Tuesday. Add a little fun to the night. Sabres in need of a win, though. You've got the Islanders here Tuesday, and then the Rangers, a team that is struggling. They are here on Friday to close out the 7-game homestand. Our Sabres core group feature, how did the core group perform? Well, the lone Buffalo goal came from Eichel. Of course, the big part of the core, setting up from Dahlin. But Dahlin, the puck gets away from him on the blue line as he goes down on the knee, and Kopp gets it from Little. So Dahlin, yes, he helped a goal, but also was a big reason why Kopp ends up scoring. And Eichel's on the ice for the game winner. So tonight, while yesterday I gave a very solid grade to the core group, today, at the very least, maybe somewhere around a C grading for this Sabres core group. The core group feature brought to you by Corrigan Moving. For your next move, count on your core group of friends at Corrigan. The Alliance, the what is it, the AAF? Is on. TJ, is it AAF or A?
I've been referring to it as the AAF.
AAF, I like that.
Thank you.
It's on the big screen here. There's a ton of hockey on. The Lakers and the Sixers are actually having a good game on. TJ, you're not surprised. The TV in my booth has on a golf from Pebble Beach, but
I don't get the network that this game is being carried on, so that's also what I'm on as well.
That's right. But CBS Sports Network, by the way, Birmingham and Memphis, on the big screen, AAF, a league a few weeks ago I forgot even existed, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about they were going to start up a league, and now it's on the big screen here at 716, and people seem to be reacting to plays. I kind of enjoyed it last night. I was watching a little of San Diego and San Antonio. I didn't mind it.
I think a large portion of it is, like, usually this is the first Sunday of no football, and now that's not the case with this league. I think that helps.
Yeah. The pace of plays with the clock in between being down, the play clock is 5 seconds less than what the NFL has. So it's amazing how that just little bit seems as though, like, it goes faster. No kickoffs, no extra points. I like, too, how they, right after a touchdown, like, it's the ball's already in play on the 25. Like, it snapped pretty quickly. The downtime in between plays is not there. The reviews are also much faster, which shows it can be done.
I didn't see an actual review. I didn't watch any of the games, but I saw on Twitter that it was actually a fairly transparent process. That seems really interesting.
Yeah. I guess they just call down and say, hey, you know, we got to look at this, whatever, and they tell the ref, hey, this is what it should be, and then it's done. So, kind of like college. Although college does take a little longer now than what it used to be. So I should never compliment college football on fast games. Their games take longer than any sport. But, yeah, so
they
far,
got
so
rid
good.
Of TV timeouts, too, correct, in the middle of play?
Yes. So far, so good.
Okay.
It's all Southern teams, if you notice, the eight franchises. But San Diego has a team, San Antonio, Arizona, Orlando, Memphis, Birmingham. There's six. I know there's Atlanta has a team.
San Diego is rough.
Seven. Yeah.
Being all the way out there.
But I guess, you know, with football being played right now, being in cold weather northern cities might not draw. You're going to struggle to draw anyway for this league, so I guess don't add a huge hurdle to it. But, yeah, so far so good. Well, you made it to the big screen on 716, so there you go.
Day two. Very good.
AAF, good for you. Okay, well, I like the way the Sabres played, but it is a results business right now for this team. And Housley said it, where they are in the standings. TJ, this is not 2 years ago where we would say, hey, this is a moral victory. You've just got to get points.
And that seems to be fan reaction as well, and it's exactly what Eichel said post-game. So, yeah. I mean, at this point, we're no longer... we're no longer in rebuild mode. We're in build mode, and I don't want to say win now, but I want to win sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and just to finish here, it's annoying to hear the point I'm going to make, because somebody has said it to me of, if you would have said in February that 55 games in, you'd be only one win away from a playoff spot, wouldn't you take it? And of course, in September, when somebody asked me this, I would have said yes. But right now, it's hard to, when you're cranky about the results of these games, you don't want to hear that. But it is true. You got to at least admit it's true. They're one win out from a playoff spot. But I don't have much confidence in them running down the Penguins down the stretch. But
yeah, like, neither do I.
Yes.
But today would have been a big statement in that, and it just wasn't there, unfortunately.
I agree. All right, well, another tough team in here on Tuesday with the Islanders, and that is when we will speak with you next here on the Sabres Radio Network. We put a wrap on our Paul William Belts postgame live here from 716. Want to thank our crew back in our Amherst studios, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Powell, our anchor, back here at KeyBank Center, Jonathan Koziel, Pat Melicaro, Paul Hamilton for their work. Of course, our game announcers, Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Koziel. I thank you for listening. The final, Winnipeg 3, Buffalo 1. We'll talk again Tuesday night here from Downtown Buffalo, Sabres and Islanders, right here on the Sabres Radio Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.